B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
Welcome to the Beer Run, part of the BS and Beer family. The only Saints podcast with a 2-drink minimum and takes as bad as talking football with a Packers fan.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep on your toes. Put toes at it.
I'm the California Cajun. With me as always is Lil Dice. Joining us again is the Hollywood Hoodette and a special guest, Tim. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you guys inviting me to be the Packers fan.
My guy, Tim. This is my frenemy here, man. We're going to be doing the Frenemies podcast where we're going to focus on fantasy football. And today on the Beer Run, we're going to touch on a little bit of fantasy football. So, Kyle, man, I appreciate you filling in for me last week while I was out enjoying my vacation to beautiful Florida. It was nice, man. It was nice. And Craig, I want to let you know, bro, you missed out on some free beer.
I'm not ready to talk about it. I'm not ready. That is a wound that is not healed, and I can't get into it, man.
Yes. I enjoyed a lot of free beer for you, though, okay? I enjoyed it for
what
you.
What a guy. What a good friend.
That's right. All right. But you know how we do on the Beer Run. We're going to talk about some beer, and we're going to compare the 09 Saints, like some major players, to the 22 Saints, who we predict to be major players, right? And then we're going to look at some other Saints news, including our underdogs, before Saints camp starts. We want everybody on record as to who's your guy for the year. And then we're going to close it out with fantasy football, of course. So referees, spot the ball. Let's get this thing going.
First down, Saints.
All right. On a beer run, we got a 2-drink minimum, okay?
Yes, sir.
And we want to know what you drink. Let's start off with you, Tim. What you drinking, bro?
I just switched over fresh from the Dos Equis Lager, switching over to Boss 40, local beer, Blackberry Bramble, all right?
So, all right. Some nice fruit in the beer. I like it. I got some backup.
Unbelievable. No matter who we have on the show, they're somehow putting fruit in the damn beers. Yeah. I'm the only one drinking beer on this damn show week in and week out. And y'all need to appreciate me for that.
Are you still drinking Bud Heavy with that old school top out of it? You know, that you got to pull back like your grandpa did?
Oh,
it's,
well,
it's
yeah.
It's not old school American if you're not ripping a can in half just to get its beer.
So, I love it.
So speaking of that, I mean, let's go over to Craig.
Now, all right, so we need a little bit of preamble here, because my beer today is the Little Something from Lagunitas, which is one of their IPAs that they do. It's a little bit heavier, I think, than their normal IPA. And it's delightful and it's delicious. But what Dale is trying to say is that the first beer bet of the season is about to be collected. And as we do on this show, we make beer bets. The loser of a beer bet has to drink an entire Budweiser in one go. You right, kids might call it chugging. And our beer bet was that Michael Thomas was going to be ready for day one minicamp, and he was put on the pup list this morning. I have lost this beer bet, and Dale is now going to use the next few seconds to gloat.
Yes. Pretty, you should not be making these sort of beer bets with me, because I clearly know more about the Saints than you know, and you will now chug this beer and admit that you were wrong and I was right. It is wonderful.
All right. As, of course, is tradition for the show, you were right. I was wrong. Cheers.
chug.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. That was
wonderful.
Done.
Cheers.
Wow. All right, wonderful. My man.
Guy's an animal.
Oh, wow. Good job.
If he ends
Craig.
Up practicing day one and they take him off that list, you better chug a beer.
Man, he was all he had me fooled, man. I thought he was going to be over here riding the tricycle with training wheels or something. Yeah.
You don't put on this many pounds by accident, okay? There was some beer has been done in my life.
Yeah, he undersold his chugging capability, man.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle, what you drinking over there, bro?
You know, Craig's actually going to love this. It's a Michelob Ultra, and it has fruit in it. Did you know?
Yes!
Lime and yes. That one.
That's
I did not know, but yeah, fruit and beer, it's pretty good.
Well, f*** you, Kyle!
It's a thing, Craig. It's a thing.
You know what? The one thing I do want to say about this actual beer that I'm enjoying over here, this Lagunitas little something, the only thing it does better than it tastes is sounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
That does sound pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It's good singing stuff. The sweet nothings in my ear.
All right. So I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. Worst thing possible while on vacation is to get sick. Okay. And I managed to do that. I don't know. I don't know if it was the beer run that you put out last week, Craig, that got me sick. You know, I don't know. It was something.
Editing this show is a thankless job.
It is. You're doing all right.
Yeah.
So today, I am not drinking beer. I am drinking whiskey because that is the medicine of the gods.
I thought we were going to have to shut this whole show down.
We got to rename.
Okay. Take a little shot of whiskey. Make you feel better. To clear all that stuff out.
Medicine. So,
what's your medical whiskey of choice here, Dale?
Oh, this is Maker's Mark. Yes.
Ooh, beautiful.
All right.
Yes. Beautiful. Yes, we're doing Maker's
Mark. Now, you have to be careful using the word medicinal around Dale. Usually when we talk about medicinal, he jumps a different direction.
What can you do? Medicine's not a science.
We will get there because we have a story where we're going to talk about medicinal purposes, okay? Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here.
Whenever I'm not ready, he drops that ad on us.
That's funny.
Second down.
The 09 Saints versus the 22 Saints. Now, do you guys have this list? I forgot to even send that out. Probably should have done that.
Yeah, I got it.
But
I don't.
Okay, so on 09 list, we have Drew Brees, Marcus Colston, Devery Henderson, Lance Moore, Pierre Thomas, Jeremy Shockey, Reggie Bush. Okay? This is versus Jameis Winston, Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave, Alvin Kamara, Adam Troutman, and Taysom Hill.
Wow.
So which one you got there, Craig?
Now, hear me out. Depending on how Michael Thomas comes back, that right-hand column is better at almost every position.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. You're talking about, all right, so Kamara is better than anybody on that side. Michael Thomas is, in my opinion, better than Colston. Olave is better than, should be better than Devery Henderson was. Jarvis Landry is better than Lance Moore. Taysom Hill is a weapon. I don't know if he's better than Reggie Bush, but that's closer than it might actually be. I'm not a huge Shockey fan. So for me, he beats out Troutman, but only because Troutman hasn't done anything yet.
Right.
Sure. That whole 22 column looks really good, except the fact that Drew freaking Brees is on the 09 one, and I'm going to go with that one. This is the 09 season. So this is right about when he came into his own as the best pure passer in football. And argue with me, Packers fans or Patriots fans, whatever the hell you want to do. For about a 10-year period, there was nobody better at slinging the ball than Drew Brees. And he was throwing it to guys like Devery Henderson and Lance Moore and a 7th-round pick from Hofstra who didn't even play wide receiver until he was in the NFL. You can't tell me that any list without Drew Brees on it is better than any list with him on it.
Yeah, I mean, this is – you're looking at like a 7th-round pick. What was Devery, like a 2nd or 3rd-round pick?
I think
Lance Moore,
he was
undrafted. Pierre Thomas undrafted, Reggie Bush first round pick, you know, but
not first overall because the Texans are terrible at football.
shout out to the Texans, I'm telling you.
Man, well,
Kyle, who you got here, man?
Question: has Jameis Winston ever thrown for 5,000 yards in a season?
Yes,
he has.
He has. Yeah, Drew Brees done it a handful of times. Sure.
Five.
Thank you, smart Alec. Jameis Winston can throw for 5,000 yards and has the weapons. Can we just say, you know, Reggie Bush, Taysom Hill. That's special teams. We're talking about just straight up offense. I want to give it to the 22 team. I mean, no Drew Brees, I get that, but Jameis can throw the ball. I'm a
Jameis apologist in a lot of ways. But he only had 1 year that he threw all the interceptions, right? He only had that 1 year that he threw 30 picks. Yep. It's also the only year he threw 5,000 yards.
I was hoping you would.
The yards and the turnovers came with each other. So, okay. If you're going to prop up with 5K, you also got to talk about the interceptions.
Sure.
Okay. But
him might know. He's a Packers fan. Didn't Brett Favre, he threw a lot of picks, didn't he?
More than anyone who's ever played a
game. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
Hey, man, if I admit those kind of things, I have to admit things about Brett Favre I don't have to admit. You know what I'm saying? So put me in a spot. Yeah, you know? The gunslinger, you know? But yeah, you guys are probably going to see a whole lot more turnovers now with Jameson. It's always been implied that Jameson is going to have a lot of turnovers. But it also has to go with that defense. So I don't think Tampa Bay's defense was able to keep up with their offense at that era. And the Saints have always had a pretty good defense, no matter what. You know, I think you guys have always been in the top third of defenses.
I want to point out that when you say always, you mean since 2017, because we have the NFL record for worst defense of all time. And we were, I think, in the bottom five for a good 5 years running. So just throwing it out there. Last 5 years, good defense. Fault. We'll go with that.
Yeah, my fault. All right, I got you.
Yeah, man, I'm looking at this list, and I think I'm seeing a little bit of recency bias. You know, because we're so excited about seeing Mike Thomas with Jarvis Landry and Chris Olave.
Yep.
And, you know, the fact that James Winston finally has some weapons. And, I mean, we're all excited about his ceiling because the guy just throws a beautiful deep ball. It's just amazing the way it looks.
One of the best,
you know,
in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think we're kind of looking through it, you know, with those rose-colored glasses. But, hey, you can't beat 09 because they won a Super Bowl. Until you do that, you can't do it, you know.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. If you're looking at just the offenses, I go 09 because of Breeze.
Yeah.
But if you look at whole teams and whole potential for whole team.
Yeah, defense.
The 09 defense, when we won the Super Bowl, we had a lot of turnovers, but we were the 25th ranked defense. We were not good defensively.
Yeah,
we got a few lucky breaks, and our offense was great. But our defense was not good. Defense should be top five. This might be one of the better defenses in the NFL, particularly if the safety position comes along. So if you're looking at full package, as long as Jameis and the offensive line don't hit the bed, I mean, this could be a really good team.
Yeah, yeah. I think the defense was more of a bend but don't break, but also based off of turnovers. Turnovers were huge for the 09
defense. Yeah, the thing about that defense is that it was opportunistic. So our offense would put up enough points on the board that people start playing from behind and you start to play more aggressively and you have to take more risks and capitalized on that.
Yeah.
That free safety that shall not be named.
but it had to be the best free safety year ever.
Right? Certainly in Saints history. It was amazing. We ain't going to say his name because, you know, F that guy. But he had an amazing year. They were all late in games when the other team was desperate because our offense had already dropped 40 points on them and you didn't have another choice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So there we go. I guess it's pretty much unanimous that we gotta go with 09, even though 22 looks good.
It was not unanimous. I just want to throw that it was not unanimous.
Okay. Okay. My bad.
Yeah. The Hollywood Dad has argued.
Kyle's going to get a new tattoo here this week, though. He's going to get that, like, Super Bowl tattoo on his arm.
He's running out of room, so easy with the tattoos.
I appreciate the thought. I love tattoos, but I'm going to wait till we win. And then
I am one of those guys that has the date of the Super Bowl tattooed on my back, so I just need I left room to put the date of the next couple, you know, which I'm assuming will be this year and next year, right? Right? Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
just from outside view, from, you know, being a Packers fan and seeing what all the teams are doing, you know, my specialty is more fantasy football, but I did notice that the Saints drafting Olave tells you that, like, they're ready to win now. You know, they want a guy who can come in and who can help help out Michael Thomas. And if Michael Thomas don't make it back in time, which he's not, but then he can fill in some spots right there. So that tells me how the Saints feel about themselves and where the you know the front office and the coaches are going. Personally,
yeah. So. Mickey Loomis says no idea how to rebuild.
Valid.
Oh, we lost our Hall of Fame quarterback. Oh, we lost our Hall of Fame coach. Ah, screw it. Win now. Let's go.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, well, I read this article, Saints-related, and it says that Willie Rolfe introduced Ricky Williams to cannabis.
Oh.
He says, in his rookie year, a Hall of Fame player invited him over to his house, gave him a speech, how he needs to take care of himself in NFL. He pulled out some cannabis, crushed it up, split up a blunt, opened it up, put the cannabis in there, then took some Vicodin, crushed it up, sprinkled the Vicodin in there, rolled it up, and passed it to Ricky. And this was a vet teaching him as a rookie how to take care of himself in the NFL.
Strike from the record. This is conjecture.
And the rest.
I don't believe this. I do not believe.
Not
it.
Buying it. You waited until we were on the show to drop that on me.
It's a real article I read on PFT. All right.
Yeah, it's from the same guys that post everything on CNN, I'm guessing.
And now we can talk about our sponsor.
The Beer Run Podcast is sponsored by Purple Valley Marijuana. We got that good.
We have sponsors?
No.
Indeed, we do have sponsors, Carell. Indeed, we do. We're still waiting on the product sample. You know, it's coming
through. I want the sample. I want a paycheck.
The check. Craig says he wants two samples.
Nope, just the check.
I find it hard to believe Ricky Williams waited until he was in the NFL to know what weed is, man. Like I just find that hard to believe.
I just read the articles and pass along the info. That's all.
Look, I got the Willie Rolfe autographed mini helmet in the other room. This does not taint my Willie Rolfe love, okay? Still one of the greatest players of all time, regardless of position, and I will defend Willie Rolfe as necessary.
I mean, hey, Willie seems to be a Purple Valley fan and also Sean Payton fan, you know, with the Vikings.
Oh, for God's sake. We got to get Delvin Bro on this show. He's a cannabis connoisseur.
Yeah, he sure is.
Canada.
He sure is. So, okay, now let's move over to the big one. Okay, the underdogs. Okay, we need to pick our underdogs for the year because...
Now, are they underdogs or are they dark horses? Because we're going to have to find different sound bites depending on how we're doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I always had underdog. That's all I had.
All right. Well, they'll forget dark horse then. Fine. Whatever.
Dark horse, underdog. How about dark horse / underdog? How about that?
That's too much.
Anyway. This is our guy that is not favored to win the starting position, but we feel he's going to contribute significantly. He's going to do well. And my pick for my underdog / dark horse is Justin Evans at safety. Marcus May is coming off an Achilles injury. He's also facing suspension, possibly 6 games for DUI. I think he's going to be our starter. Next year, we're probably going to end up cutting Marcus May. That's my prediction. And that's what I'm sticking with.
So, from all accounts, May is moving really well. He's coming off an injury as well, of course. But, you know, there's reason to think he's going to make the team and contribute. I mean, the safety position is complete upheaval. Both of our starters for last year have either retired or been shipped off to Baltimore. So... it's you know, it's everybody's job except, you know, the Honey Badger is going to be our strong, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't really do a free and strong. It's kind of more of a flexible position on the Saints. Right. But one of those spots is going to have Tyrann Mathieu in it. So it's really just May and Evans and, you know, whoever else can try to get reps at that more center fielder kind of spot.
Well, don't forget about the three safety set.
I think Evans can do it.
Yeah, don't forget about the three safety set. Like, I can really see.
But you know what? But I think Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's the third safety in that set.
Well, true.
You got to keep him on the field. You can't have a defensive set where you can have him out there and not use him. He's too valuable. He's just too useful.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Kyle, you got anything on this?
Great points. Alante Taylor, anybody?
I'm excited about that guy.
Tennessee, he's a playmaker. He's an athlete. He's athletic. Just feel like, you know, somebody's going to go down or somebody's going to be suspended. We're going to rotate some guys. Our DBs are stacked. I get that. But injuries play a factor. Suspensions, of course. I just feel like Alante Taylor, you know, with his, you know, playmaking ability, he is by definition a sleeper.
And he's a physical specimen too. They were talking about Dennis Allen when he first saw him on the field, said how much bigger he is than he thought he was coming in. Yeah. He's big and he doesn't move like it. He's very fast for his size. Right. So that's the kind of guy that I think it might be more developmental, but absolutely has the potential to be a real player.
Yeah. Playmaker. That's what I'm saying. Not Tyrann Mathieu. You know, the Honey Badger has done some things that's just crazy.
Well, we watched him at LSU. We got a little bit of a tainted image, I think.
Absolutely. But, you know, Alante Taylor, man, just that's definitely my pick. I think he's going to at some point.
I like it. All right, now B-Train submitted his pick, and which is that Lucas Kroll, the tight end.
Kroll.
So we got B-Train on record. Do not have Dave on record. I do not have Tomas on record.
Tomas sent you like three names. What are you doing?
What did he say?
I even responded to him.
What did you say? I missed it.
Hey, I will say as a non-Saints fan, but, you know, interesting coming in is the wide receiver formerly known as Tre'Quan Smith. What do you
You know, he's there.
The first 4 weeks he's going to be hot, man. I believe this, you know, because you got Olave coming in, you know, and he's not going to know the offense as well. And then now Thomas is for sure going to miss a couple of weeks, maybe. I'm just kidding. And you know, I think the artist formerly known as Tre'Quan Smith is going to be helping out the Saints.
Man, that's some good insight from someone not even entrenched with the Saints. That's pretty good.
Just being honest here.
I mean, I disagree entirely, but I'm not going to. That's still impressive to pull that out there. I mean, I think Callaway and Hardy are taking a lot of those reps at three and four with Thomas, even with Thomas out. But yeah, no, Tre'Quan Smith, everyone forgets about him. He has a bunch of really big plays in Saints history. He caught a couple of different NFL records from Drew Brees.
Exactly.
He broke the yardage one. He had the touchdown streak one. There's a couple of really big moments in his career. And It wasn't that long ago that he had almost 200 yards receiving against Philadelphia in one of our games. One of the first times we wore the color rush, actually. So, I mean, he can play when he shows up.
Well, I can make a beer bet on it. I don't know about you.
Let's do this. Beer bet on the books, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's see here. We'll do first 2 weeks. What do you say? Most yardage. We'll say most yardage first 2 weeks. You know.
You think Tre'Quan Smith will have the most yardage in the first 2 weeks for the Saints?
I'm just gonna do it because you know I might need to chug a beer.
All right, I will go. I'll give you odds on that one. So if you're right, I'll chug two beers.
I love it.
You only got to do the one.
I love it, dude. That's even better.
Let's do this. It's on the books. It's on the air.
Heard that.
All right. I love this.
Tre'Quan Smith had the most yardage in the first 2 weeks. Put it on the board.
Ching. Put it on the board.
All right, we got you, though. Wow, Tim coming through with Tre'Quan Smith.
So Dale don't want to ask me because I usually say intelligent, thoughtful stuff with a lot of thought behind it. My pick, surprise pick, I think Throckmorton is my dark horse underdog.
Okay,
so he's a backup, mostly interior. He's been playing a lot of guard, can play tackle, but that's more between Hurst and a rookie right now. Throckmorton is—he's very raw. He's been developing. He's been getting better every year. And he's a mauler. Physically, he's very impressive. And there is a chance that Ruiz just doesn't get it this year. And this is kind of Ruiz, this is what, his third year in the league.
Yeah.
This is when offensive linemen are supposed to get it. If you don't get it by now, you're probably not gonna.
Okay.
And the kind of mistakes that he makes are the kind of mistakes that a lot of young guys make. And if you're not developing past that, then the all right, so his problems are mental. If you're gonna have those mental lapses, you should have them with a mauler who's gonna just beat people up. And that's what Throckmorton is. Throckmorton will beat the hell out of somebody once he gets his hands on him. Right. They're gonna miss similar amounts of plays, but Ruiz isn't blowing anybody off the line in those short yardage situations. He's not taking anybody out of the play. What he is, he's doing his job on some plays and he's making those glaring mistakes. Now, those same glaring mistakes, that's the kind of stuff that happens to young guys who aren't up to speed yet. So if you're gonna have those mistakes anyway, I wanna have those mistakes happen with someone with higher upside. And okay. For me, that's Throckmorton.
You know, we as Saints fans, Tim, I just to let you know, right. We have guys we love to hate. And Cesar yeah. Ruiz.
I do not love to hate Ruiz. I love Ruiz. I just don't believe in him.
Listen, all right.
We as Saints fans love to hate this dude because, like, when he messes up, bro, it's bad. Like, really bad. It's so noticeable.
Yeah. You know? It's very noticeable is what it is.
like that. Who's that safety on the Cowboys this year?
Neal?
What? He had the most.
Who the hell are the Cowboys?
Yeah. same thing as a safety on the Cowboys. He had the most touchdowns against anybody, but he's also supposedly a lockdown guy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Is it Diggs?
You're talking about Diggs.
Diggs.
Okay. Yeah, he had the most interceptions, but he also gave up the most yards right. and touchdowns.
Right. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, yeah. That guy.
Yep, that guy. Yeah, that guy. Hey.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that tracks. Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense.
I mean, there's some other guys to really watch for. I mean, there's a lot of really promising UDFAs coming into this camp. But the thing about the Saints right now is top to bottom, the roster is really, really deep and it's really, really solid. So the difference between a dark horse or an underdog and an established guy might just be an injury. It might just yeah. be some bad luck in the preseason. You know, there's a lot of spots that are up for grabs just because of the nature of the position. I mean, our second defensive tackle spot, I don't know who's starting there.
Yeah.
You don't know who's starting there.
No,
third defensive end. I don't know. Depends on whether Davenport's healthy this week.
Oh, that's a good segment.
We don't know
there.
Who our starting left tackle is. We don't know who our wide receiver number one is. We don't know who our running back number two is. There's a lot of spots that are going to get decided. And don't get me started on tight end. Tight end is a mess. Juwan Johnson might end up being our main tight end, and he played receiver 2 years ago.
Yeah. But yeah, I like
Craig doesn't like people Johnson too, who used to play other positions. I'm telling you, he doesn't like those guys.
Yes,
at
because
all.
Dale has a poor grasp of what football is. And likes to remind us every week.
I do like Juwan Johnson though, from a fantasy football standpoint as well too. So
did you like him in Week 1 last year when he had 2 scores against the Packers?
Right.
Nope. I the tickle hits me, man. Gosh.
Count it and the foul.
I feel like a slug and you just put salt on me, man.
We missed the playoffs last year. Just give us our Week 1 thrashing. All right. We're taking our wins where we get them.
All right. Yeah, let's move.
There is no substitute for the optimism you feel when you blow somebody out Week 1 and you're just your delusional Saints fan brain says, we're it. We're back. This is it. Super Bowl. We got this. And then the rest of the season happens or whatever. But that Week 1, man, that is a magical feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
They're going to go for it here on fourth down.
All right. Let's move over to fantasy football.
All right.
Ooh. Because this is why everybody tuned in, because they want to talk about fantasy football, right? So, yeah, real quick. Marcus Davenport will start off on PUP. So, once again, mid-season form. This is what he does, right?
Yep.
What he does.
At least he's consistent,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
Consistency is the key. This is what he does. All right. So, as we talked earlier about Mike Thomas heading to PUP, start off camp, do we have any confidence that he'll be back to normal and be a fantasy producer this season, Kyle?
Can I say hell yes?
All right.
I love him. He's just he's another one of those guys. He's just he's a super freak. And he is just strong I really hope he's ready to go because I love it. I love, playmaking ability all day. That's what you got to look for, right?
Yeah, for sure. We definitely need playmakers there,
because everybody in the national media is going to be saying that he's still hurt and not coming in. But Saints fans, we know.
Yeah, sure.
You get that guy in the third or fourth round. I don't know. I'm pretending I know what I'm talking about. I hate fantasy football.
Well, after hearing this news, Tim, what do you think about Mike Thomas?
I'm happy. I would be happy if he was back in week three or four. I don't think he's going to miss a couple of games this season. I kind of felt that way anyway. He's been really focused on taking care of himself, which I appreciate that in some form, but at the same time, it's time to get back on that field, man, and even if he comes back in week one, I think that, it's going to take him to like week four to week six to really like get back in the speed of the game and everything else, man. He's been out a year and some change, we got to think about that.
Yeah. Have you seen any of the videos of him running routes, on his own?
No.
Okay. All right. So there, the different fantasy doctors on Twitter, will break down his video of him running routes and they say, oh, well, it looks like he's favoring the ankle here and all of that. And what they will look for to see if he's close to 100% or not. And so far, every fantasy doctor I've seen, they look at the route and say that he's not ready yet. And so him starting off on PUP is not a surprise because of that.
Wow.
So, with him coming off of this injury, 2 years ago now, I mean, are you concerned about his long-term outlook as far as dynasty fantasy football is concerned?
Well, I mean, I own him in at least one of my leagues.
And, yes, you do.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, it brings a slight cause of concern because you don't see a guy on the field for 2 years. Your heart beats a little harder,
Yeah.
But at the same time, the skills are there. Michael Thomas is still Michael Thomas, and he knows what it takes to get there and he knows what it takes to be Michael Thomas, a receiver like Michael Thomas. And so, I do expect like a dip down for quite a few weeks, but I believe that he's going to catch up. And with Winston there, maybe he does throw a lot of interceptions and he's got to, throw for 5,000 plus yards again. And that can't be anything but a good thing for Michael Thomas.
Okay. So the Saints, folks
at home, I want to remind everybody that he only threw 3 picks in 5 games last year.
Yeah, that's true.
Just a little, right. Just making sure everybody here listening remembers he only had 3 picks in 5 games last year.
Now the Saints went out
and signed, and a quarter.
The Saints went out and signed Landry at wide receiver. Now, do we see Landry putting up numbers comparable to Mike Thomas while he's out?
Can we say, with the entire wide receiving core that we have, balls are going to be flying around. Everybody's going to want to share. I get that. Especially, if Kamara, he's going to be coming out of the backfield. He's going to pick up targets that way too. It's tough because you never know who it's going to be. I see this being more like, you can't tell if it's going to be, our rookie Olave or if it's going to be Juice Landry. Or, if Michael Thomas, plays like Michael Thomas, he's got 11 catches for, 100 something yards. You can't really, it's tough right now because you have no idea where it's going. You can't. We have so many weapons that it's just not fair. I still like all of our wide receivers. They're all going to be kind of like a boom or bust. But with the targets flying around everywhere, that's tough.
Yeah, when there's a multiple targets on a team, it's kind of harder for fantasy as far as who you're going to put into your lineup every single week. Yeah. So, I mean, do you see this as a problem here, Tim?
Well, I mean, of course, but you don't know who Jameson's going to enjoy, as his number one target.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we're even all implying that when Michael Thomas comes back, that he's going to be Jameis's number one target. You know,
yeah. Some
guy. And I think those bonds, you know, might end up being Landry. You know, Landry, in my opinion, is a tier below, maybe two tiers below Michael Thomas, but like might be the guy simply because Winston likes him more. You know,
yeah.
Those matter.
Yeah.
One thing to look for, too, is Jarvis Landry's route tree, his skill set, is not necessarily Jameis Winston's skill set, but Chris Olave runs every route very well that Jameis Winston likes to throw, particularly mm-hmm. that deep ball, those deep outs. The kind of thing that Jameis is real good at is also what Olave excels at. So nothing against Jarvis Landry. It might just be a matter of Jameis liking the Olave matchups and that route tree better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Solid point.
Yeah. Solid. The deep outs, play action. That's gonna play a factor this year. So let's talk about Jameis's outlook on the season, because I mean, before we signed him, I will always say that he was the guy with the highest ceiling, especially when you think about the type of money that was going to be demanded. And I wanted that high ceiling with the lower payment demands. And I believe Jameis is going to have a pretty good year, because last year, I mean, yo, we passed the ball like 20-something times a game, maybe. Like, that was like a league low.
Yep.
And there's no way we're going to repeat this same thing again. Am I right, Kyle?
I mean, you know, you've seen him be a fantasy starter. You've seen him, you know, throw how many times in a game and just put up numbers. Even if he throws a pick or two, he's still throwing a ton and he's getting those opportunities. We don't know if he's going to have that same, you know, it's not the same offense. He's not going to have, you know, Bruce Arians calling plays. You know, this is completely different. I want to see him get back to where he was in Tampa that one season where, you know, he threw it just reckless abandonment. He threw it, even if he didn't think it was a good play, he took those risks, and I like that. I love that.
Yeah.
As a fantasy starter.
You want to have the 30 interception season again?
You know what? I'll take it if he throws for 5,000 yards.
You and Tim with your Brett Favre stuff, man, that's ridiculous.
When you can trust the guys on defense, I feel like take those risks, man. Sling it. We know you can. Get out there and just throw the ball. I want to see that more, but you can't really you're not going to know if that's actually what he's going to do. So,
well, I think too, what Kyle's trying to bring up too is that in fantasy, it's minus 2 points for an interception, but it's plus 6 for a touchdown.
That's
so,
right.
You know, as fantasy goes, you know, outside of normal NFL football, but you know, you're getting a benefit for having a quarterback like Jameis who can throw for 5,000 yards and plus. I'm going to assume he did 20 plus touchdowns that year.
34.
It was 30 and.
30. Yeah.
34 and 30.
Yeah.
And fantasy wise, that's a success. I know it's very aggravating in real life football, and I feel you too because Brett Favre is aggravating in real life football too.
That's a couple of games that are close. You win because of those. It's I wish you would get back to that, but you're not going to know.
Yeah.
See, this is where watching and playing real football puts me at a disadvantage in fantasy.
Yep.
Well, I mean, listen, when we have our fantasy draft,
mm-hmm.
The BS and Beer fantasy draft,
yeah,
Craig, you be sure to pick offensive linemen.
Okay? Yeah.
As long as they get points for wins.
Yeah, those guys get a ton of points, Craig. Yes.
All the points. Yeah. So what?
All the points.
Yeah. So what do y'all pick? Craig, what's your number one guy? Your kind of sleeper guy that you think fantasy football might come across? Because it sounds like you're really big into the regular football, and then you know I like think about this transition for you. You know, I'm not kind of you trans or nothing. I'm just saying transition.
Hey, it's 2022. We're a very inclusive podcast.
Okay?
We love everybody. We love everybody here.
Yeah, and
All right. So if I get suckered into a fantasy league, which I don't want to do because I hate fantasy football,
you're gonna
and
do
I
it.
Hate all of you by extension. I don't want to do that. But I'm understanding that receivers and running backs are more valuable than quarterbacks. So yeah. Again, going against actual football rules, I'm gonna assume maybe somebody like Adams in Oakland who's gonna get a target. I mean, I could see him being a high pick. I could see I know not a lot of people are on that bandwagon, but I could see Barkley in New York having a big season in his comeback now that he's healthy and they have some more weapons to kind of take attention off of him. There's a couple of ways you could go. I think a lot of people are going to pick Hill really high, Tyreek in Miami, and have any faith in Tua getting him the ball on the kind of way that that people are going to expect him to have gotten it.
Ooh,
so I don't, that's one of those things people are like, oh, maybe, what about that? No, I don't see that happening at all. But you know what? Like, there's, man, a sleeper pick, I would pick Michael Thomas in the third, fourth round order because I think he's going to be a hell of a player this year, and I think a lot of people are going to overlook that. But, yeah, if I got the number one pick, gun to my head.
Oh, no!
Davante Adams, I guess.
All right. I like I really like your Barkley pick, man. I mean, honestly, too, because I was going to mention, you know, I didn't know where Dale was going with the fantasy stuff too, but I was going to mention that like investing now in the Giants and the Lions offense, you're going to be like, oh, the Lions and Giants. But you know, when you're at the bottom, you have nowhere to go but up, you know. And the whole point of fantasy is like picking the most value. So like you want to get a guy in the ninth round who's going to produce like a guy in the sixth round, you know. I think Barkley's going to be one of those kind of guys that everybody's not really expecting to do well. And he might be, I'm not sure where his ADP is right now, average draft position. But, you know, a fourth, fifth round for Barkley, he might end up doing a running back one scenario this year with him being healthy again. So that was pretty good, man.
Timmy!
Yeah. Look at Craig, man. Learn a little something about fantasy football, okay?
But I'm still waiting. No matter what I say about you, Craig, I'm still waiting on you to chug two beers.
Oh, and you think that's a punishment somehow?
Yes, indeed. Okay. All right. Well, that's about all I got here. I do appreciate you guys joining us again, man. Kyle, appreciate you filling in for me.
Absolutely. And
Tim, always good to talk to you, and really not. So yeah,
I had a good time having you on, Tim. I appreciated you joining us.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you guys. I enjoyed all three of y'all very much, and thank you for
the pretty much.
Pretty much. I was looking at Dale's screen when I said that. Pretty much, you know, mostly
for the most part.
Yeah, we'll keep everybody posted, man, and let you know when the fantasy football show is going to be posted. And, you know, we'll always be here for the beer runs. I'm pretty sure at some point Dave will want to record another big show.
Who the everybody, hell is Dave?
You know, he might still be there. I don't know.
He's like Bigfoot at this point. Look, stay tuned on the channel, guys. You guys have heard our wrestling podcast. We have a fantasy football show coming. We have an offensive line dedicated show coming. Tomas has got his own show coming out. We've got the B-Train with his own show. This is going to be daily content from our channel, so make sure you get us subscribed, get yourself locked in, send us some money, do all that fun stuff. You know, I think we have an OnlyFans, my PayPal, Instagram, something that I'm sure
subscribe
you can send
now.
That to. So for me, for Lil Dice, for the Hollywood Hoodat, for our good friend Tim, who I never want to talk to ever again because he's a Packers fan, thank you to the BS and Beer family. Thank you to the Saints for beating the Packers 38-3 last year. And thanks for spending your time with us. Have a beer. It's on me.
Yeah.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs@icloud.com. That's where we be. You know who it is. It's us, SFB. Show much love from the 13th to the 9th. If New Orleans really about it, all the time. The city on the wall is number one, no doubt. Doing things the right way, cause we all know.